Welcome back. We start hour number three. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Yeah, we're talking a lot of Wisconsin. We just are. Because I'm going there for 2 weeks starting this weekend. And I've got a couple of Packers coming up this hour. I've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, wide receiver for the Packers, coming up at 40 past. I am efforting Packers tight end Mercedes Lewis right now. We already talked to Johnny Hecker. Trevor Douglas tweets, the only thing Romy is going to be fishing for in Wisco will be his newest iPhone that he drops in the water. Maybe he'll use that as bait. And maybe I will. And if I do drop an iPhone in the water, it won't be the first time. I've done it before. I can do it again. Trust me. I've got some good calls on hold. Stay there. I'll get there next segment. As promised, we're joined right now by a tight end for the Packers. He is a Pro Bowler. He is entering his 15th NFL season. He is a John Mackey Award winner. He was an All-American and All-Conference player at UCLA. He was an All-American at Long Beach Poly, which is a football factory. The 28th pick overall in 2006. And co-host of Uninterrupted's The Thread, Mercedes Lewis is my guest. Mercedes, it's so good to have you back. Listen, it's been a long time since you and I. What's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I just got finished training.
Good, good. I'm glad to get that work in. Listen, you and I have not talked for a long time, and there are things I want to get to, but what's it been like for you and everybody around you during this really unusual time? Bring me up to date.
Well, I think it's, you know, I'm pretty sure I can speak for a lot of the guys out there, especially in my position and playing ball and not and being unsure whether we're going to have camp. And it's been crazy. Family has gotten tighter, that's for sure. Probably lost a lot of associates.
Right.
But, you know, everybody's been healthy on my side of things. And, you know, I'm praying for the health of everybody else, too.
You bet. Mercedes Lewis, my guest, you mentioned that you just got your work in. I'm curious, what has the offseason been like for you, and how have you gone about approaching it?
The offseason's been pretty good for me. You know, I have a personal trainer, so I'm not with a lot of guys when I am training. I went to Cabo for, like, almost a month, flew him out there just to relax and get away, trained out there. You know, I'm pretty much in quarantine before it was a thing.
That's a smart move. Now, you're entering your 15th season, which is really impressive in and of itself. How do you explain that? For instance, how much of that is about just God-given talent, and then how much of that is about hard work and mindset and approach?
Well, I think, you know, it's a big misconception as far as talent and skill. You're born with talent. Skill is after you've been beat on your talent for hours and hours and staying committed to the process. And I think that's something that I grasped from a young age. My mom being 15 years old and having me growing up, single mom in the hood of Long Beach. So I got that aspect of hard work real early. And, you know, just the God-given ability, you know, definitely appreciated, obviously. But, you know, my mental approach to the game, not just on the field, but in the classroom, is just unparalleled. And obviously that's learned. And every year, you know, I'm just trying to trim the fat and get better at what I do, and always keep that edge internally. You know, I'm not external motivated. I'm very internally motivated. So, you know, it hasn't been tough for me to stay, you know, on track and stay in my zone.
See, I was going to say, the thing about that is it's whenever athletes, Mercedes, call it a day, at the end of the line, it's always one of two things goes first, right? Either your pure ability goes, like you want to still do it, but you can't, or your will to prepare and train goes. What keeps you motivated and inspired to put in that kind of work, even 15 years in, on a daily basis?
You know what? It's one of those things to where, you know, I've been blessed to never call this job that I do work. I've been doing it since I was 7 years old. And they always say, find something that you really love, because when you do, you'd rather be there than anywhere else. And I couldn't imagine, you know, not just letting this opportunity slip. I've always been in the moment, and I stay in that moment. And that's just how it's been. It's, you know, it's a different kind of mindset, like I said. And I've just been blessed to, you know, have come across a few good coaches that, you know, pointed me in the right direction. And always kept me, you know, striving to be my personal best every day.
Packers tight end Mercedes Lewis is my guest. Back in January, you had a post on Instagram which read, quote, "The fear of not playing at a high level, being inconsistent, or letting my teammates down is terrifying," end of quote. I think that's a really powerful statement. Can you talk more about that? How much does that fear drive you every day and that motivation not to let the people down around you that you play with?
Oh, of course. I mean, well, look at it in the grand scheme of things. Football is the ultimate complimentary sport, right? So if I'm out there and I'm not where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, doing my job but doing it well, Aaron Rodgers could be getting sacked. Aaron Jones could be getting tackled in the backfield. You can't be jumping off sides. No pre-snap penalties. I think it's all about just being disciplined and understanding that, you know, the man next to you, you have to be aware that you're playing for him. And I think that, you know, that's always been my mindset. My stepfather was in the military, Purple Heart. And that's just how it was. That's just how I was raised in the house. You know, and I'm playing for the man next to me. And I'm not playing because I dislike the dude in front of me. I'm playing because I love the guy next to me. So that's just how it's been.
Hey, listen, I'm hearing this, and I can hear it in your voice, what the game means to you, what your dedication to the craft is, that it's more than just a game. Like, you were in Jacksonville for a long time, and then you go to Green Bay. The first year did not necessarily go the way you would have expected. The story goes that after a shutout loss to Detroit at the end of the 18 season, you actually thought about moving on or possibly retiring. Given what the game means to you and the way things went that year, what kind of thoughts and emotions were you having at that point?
Well, I think, you know, obviously after coming off a really good year in 17, my last year in Jacksonville, you know, and ended up going to Green Bay, you know, I figured that they had a plan for me. So when I got there, everything seemed cool and sweet during camp. And then, you know, things just went by the wayside. I don't blame anybody for that. I think everything happens for a reason. You know, and 18 came up, and it was like, yo, we just got my offensive coordinator. It was in Jacksonville, understands my capabilities and what I bring to the game. You bring LaFleur in who runs a, you know, running game, play action pass off the running game. That's right in my wheelhouse. So I think the universe works in great ways, man. And, you know, I've always, you know, laid my hat on, you know, if I just go on with my daily life and do things because I know that they're right, with no agenda, good things are going to happen. And it just happened that way.
Mercedes Lewis is joining us. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. This is what he said about you. Quote, "You can't have enough Mercedes Lewis is on your roster," end quote. I know you think highly of him. What's it like to play with him?
He's, first and foremost, you know, I've always been, you know, mentally inclined as far as when it comes to football concepts and understanding the game from a, you know, not a narrow view, right? I understand what's going on the field. This is like the, you know, one of the first times where I felt like when I looked across from him, I knew that he was thinking the exact same thing that I was thinking. And his demeanor is so calm and cool. Just the way he leads that team on the field, you know that he's bringing it every Sunday. It's been a blessing to play with him. And never seen a dude throw a ball like he does, so it's definitely, this is something I'll tell my kids about later.
Right, so guys on the team talk about you as a leader and a mentor. Let me ask you this. Is that leadership and that mentoring ability something that has always come naturally? Or do you work on that and do you try to learn from other leaders and mentors? What's your approach in that regard?
You know what, Jim? I I'm myself, bro. I don't try to be a rah-rah guy. I'm not that guy. I'm a lead by example. I'm going to lead by the work, and the work is always working. You know, the road to success is always under construction. You know, like I just go out there and be me, man. And, you know, I try to lead, and, you know, when guys want to come along, I bring them along, man. You know, we're all grown men, you know, when it comes to this level. And there's no way that I'm going to, you know, make a grown man do something that he doesn't really want to do. And I think that approach, it's been that way since I was a kid. You know, I just want to be the very best at, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing that day. Living my life like I'm on a one-day contract, boss.
And you mentioned what it was like to grow up in Long Beach. And I referenced this, I think maybe you recall, but I married a lady who went to Pauley. So I know what that Pauley tradition is about. I know what the LBC is about. What was it like to grow up in Long Beach? And as you mentioned, your mother was so young and she was a single parent. What was it like for you to grow up in that community?
Well, as you know, growing up in an inner city, it's not, you know, the best circumstances. But what you do learn is you're either going to be a leader or you're going to be a follower, right? And the followers, you know, they normally show themselves as years progress. Fortunately and unfortunately, you know, my mom's brothers didn't really, you know, do what they're supposed to be doing. As adults, I was able to watch and learn from what they did and not go that way. Sports was my outlet. I used to attend this after-school program called PAL, the Police Athletic League. I boxed in that league. I played basketball in that league. And then I caught the bus at 9 and 10 years old to Long Beach Poly to go to practice, and which my coach paid for $75 at the time. My mom couldn't even afford that. My coach really wanted me to play, so they would pay for me to play. It's experiences like that helped make me who I am today. And, you know, I'm just blessed.
Amazing.
Living in gratitude.
Amazing. Mercedes Lewis, my guest, is one of the leaders on that team. You were part of a video that the team put out calling for change in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. You specifically called for, quote, structural reform, not only from the community, but from law enforcement in a collaborative way, end quote. So what kind of conversations have you had with your teammates the last 5 weeks about systemic racism and racist police brutality?
I just think that, you know, obviously it's ongoing conversation. And as a whole, I mean, it doesn't stop here. It's always been situations where, you know, it'll be cool. The momentum is cool for like 2 months and then it stops. I just think that everybody needs to come together, leave the pride at the door, and really understand what's going on in this world. And I think, you know, as sports figures and athletes, entertainers, we have the platform to be able to move the chain or move the needle, so to speak. And I just think we need to come together and continue to get the ball rolling downhill.
Right, to that point about moving the chain or moving the needle, what is your reaction then when you hear people say, hey now, athletes should just stick to sports?
I laugh to myself.
Yep.
I laugh to myself. I think that, you know, we're all human beings at the end of the day. It's a shame that we're still dealing with the same problems that we've been dealing with for 400 years. I don't know, man. It's a lot of mixed emotions. You got to bring people along, man. It's always somebody, right? Is going to be feeling a certain way or have, you know, their certain feelings about what's going on that aren't favorable to yours. But we got to lead from the front, man. We got to lead from the front, and I feel like the athletes have a good chance, and we're in position to do that. So as long as we stay consistent, we'll start seeing some movement.
You're right, and I agree with you. You rebuilt your body going into last season. That was really interesting. Why was that so important, and what was the process like? What kind of workouts did you do to go through that to revamp your body the way you did?
Honestly, it's one of those things. Like, I think in 2017, I played at like 270, felt really good. Came in 2018, my first year in Green Bay, I was like 273, but didn't really play as much as I would like, right? So. And obviously, it's freezing out there, so we're not running around and doing all of that. So I just felt like, you know, in order for me to be at my optimum and learning the climate, knowing your climate, I'm in Green Bay. I'm not sweating as much at practice. The food is amazing in that cafeteria. And so I just had to, you know, put myself on a little diet and, you know, came back in about I played at 266 last year. I've been training mixed martial arts for 7 years. You know, I do my one-on-one basketball stuff still. I'm just always active, man. 2 times a day, grinding, swimming, doing my thing, man. So it's helped me a lot.
Mercedes Lewis joining me for a few more moments because it's been a minute. You can tell I'm not letting you go. I'm enjoying this a lot. When you do your MMA, dude, is it for your mind or for your body or both? More for your mind or more for your body?
So originally, when I started in 2011, it was more for the cardio, right? And the way I got into it is at the Pro Bowl, I ran into Chuck Liddell, and Chuck Liddell's with Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer introduced me to Chuck Liddell, and then from there, you know, I went to my first class. And I just fell in love with it, man. I got addicted to it. And then it went from getting cardio to honing in on the skill and the craft. And, I mean, now, you know, I'm at a place where right before the pandemic hit, I made a commitment to go get my belt in jiu-jitsu. So hopefully, you know, once this thing calmed down, you know, I can get back in there and do that. But it's something that I grew to love, and I'm addicted to it. I've been watching UFC since the beginning, so it's pretty cool.
It's really cool, actually. Listen, last thing. I mentioned off the top that you're one of the hosts of Uninterrupted's The Thread. It's a new series which explores the intersection of style, sports, and culture. First off, how did you first get involved, and what's it been like to work on that?
So I got involved. So one of my good friends and brand managers, his name is Brandon Williams. You know, we would just have these conversations about, you know, things that move the culture and how to maneuver through the tight spots in big cities all the time. That's what we talk about all the time. And obviously, you know, fashion is a part of it. And then, you know, it's two other of our good friends that we didn't meet together but met separately but found out that all of us were connected. And so literally for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, we've just been, you know, having these really good conversations, just talking shop about potentially having a show. And then, you know, one day we shot the pilot, started pitching, got a great response from a lot of different networks. LeBron and Uninterrupted were the ones that, you know, put the first contract down. And I think that's something that, you know, we really thought was really cool because it's right in our wheelhouse as far as, you know, the athlete side of it and then the fashion side of it. I think it's going to be a good marriage.
Right, so lastly, how would you describe your approach to fashion and style?
My fashion is pretty chill. Simple is perfect, if I had to put it in a certain way. I'm the type that'll wear, you know, a blazer and some dope sweats and some cool sneakers. You know, I'm more of that type. I'm not really a label guy. My mom always used to say, you don't need to wear all that expensive stuff. You're a handsome guy, and it's going to speak for itself. So I'm pretty chill, and I'll dress it up a little bit, but I'm a chill cat for the most part.
Mom's knows. He's the co-host of Uninterrupted's The Thread. Packer tight end, Pro Bowler, 15 years in now. I mentioned an All-American and an All-Conference player at UCLA, an All-American at Long Beach Poly. Mercedes Lewis, man, I appreciate you so much. I'm so glad we got caught up. Thanks so much for doing that, Mercedes.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks, bro.
Appreciate you, man, very, very much. Great job. What a great conversation. He's the best. Love that. If I'm going to bring a guy on at the top of the hour and go all the way to 18, you know I'm having fun. You know that's a great conversation. Mercedes Lewis of the Packers. We're not done. We're talking more Packer football before the end of the hour. Coming up in the last segment today, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. All right, so I've got a segment coming up next for phone calls. Quickly, if you're on hold, stay there. Calls are next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm telling you, man, today is flying. It's a weird concept. I'm not going to lie to you. There's some days, and our approach is exactly the same every single day in the way we come in, the way we approach it. Our approach is very consistent. Very, very consistent. The show is so strange. There are some days where 3 hours, frankly, feel like seven. Just because, for whatever reason, I don't even know how to explain it. I've done this for so long. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, for some reason, there are some days where 3 hours feel like seven. And there are some days where 3 hours feel like 30 seconds. I've never really understood it. Today is flying. Well, good things must come to an end. We're talking a lot of Wisconsin. And to quote Conor McGregor, in regards to my talking about the state of Wisconsin, I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody. I will be there this weekend for 2 weeks. I pay taxes in Wisconsin. I'm a resident of Wisconsin. I'm not going to apologize for it. We just had Mercedes Lewis. Yeah, you tell me, did that guy not make this show a hell of a lot better? He did. He did. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is coming up at 40 past. Let's go to the phones here in Orange County. Right around the corner, Mike in SoCal. What's going on, Mike? How are you?
Jim, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm great.
So
Mike, how about you?
Great to be back on with you. Hey, Jim, by the way, I'm a gaucho, class of 84.
Love it. Beautiful.
I love Vista, baby. Jim, I read the 690 article by The Athletic. It is fantastic. I mean, it's unbelievable. By the way, you and the Oreo cookies and the beer waiting for your shot in the 690, it's unbelievable, Jim. I love everything about this article, especially hello, Rancho Bernardo, give it to me. I loved the hacksaw information. Did he really think his show was going to get syndicated over you? Did you read that part of the article, Jim?
All right, so Mike, here's the answer. The truthful answer is I have not read the column yet, although it's live, but I know what you're talking about because the author, Antonio Morales, said to me that Hacksaw said to him, I was the one they were going to syndicate, but we couldn't come to terms. That's how Rome got it. So I have not read the article, but I know that he said that.
Exactly quoted as such in the article. I couldn't believe it. You know, Jim, and then he did a mini poll yesterday on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that. Who's your favorite 690 host from the old days? It was a very close competition. He might have eked it out, Jim, but Hacksaw, unbelievable. Good night now. I mean, it was just unbelievable, Jim. But I want to ask you about this. Bud Ferrillo came to 690. That was the plan. They tried to get him east. Did you ever hear Jim Healy, Jim, back in the old days?
Of course, sure.
KLAC in L.A.
Absolutely.
You remember the Bud Ferrillo thing they used to play all the time?
Yes.
The San Antonio River goes down the heart of L.A. I mean,
how about this, Mike? Do you remember way back in the day on KBC Sports Talk? Do you remember Superfan Ed Beeler?
Absolutely. Bud Tucker.
Do you believe this guy? Ed Beeler, actually, he replaced me in Santa Barbara, if you can believe that, for a time. Now we're going deep. All right, Mike, listen, let me jump in and respond really quickly. I appreciate you, Mike. Thanks. I have not read the article yet. It is on The Athletic. Antonio Morales did it, and people have sent it to me. I've not read it yet. I should have. But I'm not one of those guys who Googles me and reads things about me right away. But I've got it in my inbox. And people are saying very good things about it. And I know that he talked to a number of people from the station. And no, I did not read it yet, but I knew that Hacksaw was going on about how he was the one who was supposed to be syndicated. That John Lynch wanted to syndicate me, but I couldn't come to terms. So that's how Rome got it. And Antonio asked me, like, what do you think about that? I'm like, what do I think about that? I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I guess if the old guy's saying it, it must be. I don't know. Things worked out pretty well, though, didn't they? I don't know. I always had a vision for this thing being bigger than San Diego. So I did find a way to agree to terms, and it worked out pretty well. Because I figured out early in my life, like, if you read the article, and I haven't read it yet, but it should read like this, my goal in life, my mission in life, was to get a job at that radio station. Like, that was the thing I cared about more than anything in the world. I was obsessed with getting a job at 690. And then when I got that job at 690, I attacked it for all it was worth. But then I was thinking about the next thing. You know, how am I going to spend the rest of my life talking Hell Week, Raiders suck, Chargers rule, good night now? I mean, I could, and it'd be a good life and a good career, but there's got to be more than that every single day because I was a young guy. So what was the next thing? Syndication. The show could work. If it works in San Diego and it works in Southern California, it could work outside of that. So John Lynch approached me and said, I want to syndicate your show. What do you think about that? I said, John, I've been thinking about the same thing. It's awesome. I think it's a great idea. Anyway, so if you're kind of curious about where I got my start, or if you're Southern California based and you listen to that radio station on the way up, I would imagine it's a very good read. I haven't read it yet, but it's The Athletic, and it's a retrospective, a look back at 690 AM. 1-800-636-8686. That's Mike in Orange County talking about how that read. He said he loved everything about it. Let's quickly go to Wisconsin. Susie, you made it in. Susie, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you, Susie. What's going on?
Oh, I've been watching or listening to the show only about a week and a half. Listened to the Smack Off. Changed my life. I am hooked on your show.
Love it.
The fact that I just really like the cut of your jib. And you don't pull punches, but you elevate the conversation. You're smart. And you're just funny as heck. So, love it. the reason I called too is I kind of threw out to the universe, I need a sign. I need a connection with my brother. He passed away about 5 months ago.
I'm sorry.
Loves sports. The most sarcastic and smart guy I've ever known. And then your show came along, and now I feel like I still have a connection with him. And his birthday is this weekend, so shout out to him and to you for bringing that that connection back into my life. So,
Susie,
really appreciate you.
Susie, I'm really sorry for your loss, and I'm so appreciative of that phone call. That is wonderful. That is a beautiful phone call, Susie. Thank you so much. And, Susie, I will be in Wisco this weekend. So thank you for sharing that. That is an amazing telephone call. And I'm truly sorry for your loss. But she said that she just found the show and she heard the smack off and it changed her life and she feels connected to her brother, whose birthday was going to be this weekend. War you, Susie. War you. Rack
War
Susie.
Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Rack him.
How smart is she? Lady Clones are always smarter than the male clones. Susie and Wisco. Love that call. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some more Wisconsin sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Susie. War you. Marquez Valdez Scantling joins me next. Wait for that. Before I can get there, though, I do owe you a sports update. Here's the lick. Welcome back. Last segment. Who wants in? We're not done yet. I am efforting Marquez Valdez Scantling. We're talking Packer football this hour. More of that coming up in the moment. But as I'm efforting that, rather than going to some long-form rant or some long-form take, I can open the phones for you. 1-800-636-8686. Tomorrow is the ultimate getaway Friday. I'm not flexing. I'm not throwing it in your face. I just want to let you know that you're running out of time. If there's something you want to say, and it has been a wild, wacky, infuriating, scary, challenging 2020. I am taking off for 2 weeks. So if there's something you want to get to before then, we have this segment and we've got tomorrow's program as well. 1-800-636-8686. I wanted to get to my thoughts on the Andre Iguodala podcast. Was not able to get to that today. I'll try and mix that in tomorrow. In the meantime, if you want something to listen to, you should check that out after the show. It's really good. Good, long-form, free, premium content, the original Rome side hustle. I'm committed to it. I put that list of guests up against any. So make sure you look for that. That's free right now. Well, it's always free, but it's live right now. As mentioned, we are talking Packer football this hour. We are joined right now by a wide receiver for the team. 26 receptions, over 450 yards, couple of TDs last year. 64 receptions, more than 1,000 yards, and 4 TDs in his first 2 seasons. He averaged more than 15 yards per catch in 2018, highest for a Packer rookie in 40 years. He is the founder of the Scantling Receiver Academy. The 174th pick overall in 2018 out of South Florida. We talk more Packer football. Marquez Valdez Scantling is my guest. Marquez, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. In fact, let me rephrase that. How are you and everybody around you doing right now at this really unusual time?
Yeah, man, the family's all good. We're keeping everybody safe and, you know, trying to, you know, keep it as distant as possible, but, you know, still doing the things that we need to do on a day in and day out basis.
You know, I've asked this pretty much of every single guy who's come on the program, but I am curious, what has the offseason been like for you personally? How have you gone about approaching it to get ready for the year?
It's been a unique one, just trying to figure out different ways to work out and figure out, you know, different ways to, you know, get around people and still do football things and keep our distance from everybody else. So it's been an interesting one for sure.
No doubt. So a few weeks back, you tweeted something really powerful. You said, quote, "The difference is when you get pulled over, your first thought is, how can I get out of this ticket? My first thought is, am I going to make it home?" End quote.
Yep.
That's an extremely heavy thing to read for all of us, I think. What's it like to live with that and experience that?
I mean, it's not an easy thing. And you kind of become numb to it as a African-American male or African-American person in general because it's our norm. But when you take a step back and really realize what you're dealing with, it's kind of just sad, you know, just have to have real fear of, you know, am I going to make it home?
Marquez Valdez-Scantling is my guest. You know, I had your teammate Mercedes Lewis on the show earlier this hour. We talked about the response that you sometimes hear from fans when they say that athletes should just stick to sports. I asked him his thoughts on that. Let me get your reaction. When you hear that, what do you think?
I mean, we're people. You know, we're people. We're not just, you know, confined to what we do as a profession. Because if that was the case, you know, everyone would be confined to what they do as a profession. You know, I will never tell you to, you know, stick to radio hosting and you shouldn't have your own opinions, because that's just not what it is. You know, we're Americans, we're human, and we all should have our entitled to our own opinions, especially the world that we live in.
I love it, too. What's funny, well, it's not funny, but what's kind of brutal about that is you're exactly right. I mean, the same people who are saying that all do other things, and they have plenty of opinions, and they're not afraid to tell you what their opinions are, but they don't want your opinion, unless, of course, your opinion agrees with their opinion. So my opinion is I agree with yours. All right. So you're entering your third season in the league. Obviously, this offseason is different. But overall, how different does it feel for you coming into your third season now that you do have 2 years under your belt?
Well, yeah. I mean, this one's a big one for me. You know, everything was ascending for me last year. And then the injury kind of hindered me a little bit, you know, toward the middle of the season. And so just kind of just bouncing back. That was my first time really being injured and having to deal with an injury that lasted my whole, you know, season. So just battling through that, you know, was a new phase for me, for sure, because I had never missed time before. Even I didn't miss any games, I never not felt like myself going into a game.
Right.
So, you know, that was just something that I had to, you know, deal with all year. And then I just took this whole offseason just getting my body back right and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, how can I be a better player and how can I get back to, you know, what I was doing before I got hurt.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling is my guest. Now, before you enter the league, I think, as some people know, you did work out with Randy Moss. How did that come to be, and what did you learn from that time with him?
I have this quarterback coach that I've been around, you know, ever since I was like a junior or sophomore in high school. And, you know, every summer or every time I'm back home, you know, we get together. He brings out one of his guys or a couple of his guys. We go out and run routes and stuff. And his name is John Kaleo. He's, you know, really big down in the Tampa Bay area. And he introduced us through another guy named Yo Murphy, who has a training facility down here. And so he brought his quarterback. He brought Randy Moss, and we kind of just linked up there. And then we started doing some one-on-one stuff and kind of grew from there and just learning from him and, you know, the things that he did, especially with the similar physical attributes that we both have. It's good learning from a player who, you know, has a similar body type as you. And yep. Then, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer, you know, you can't ask for a better, you know, one-on-one coaching than that.
That's true, and there's so much more to it than what it appears. For instance, like, people have this perception of Moss as this freaky, amazing athlete, but Rydell Anthony, who was there for the workout, said, quote, "One thing that made Moss great was he really gives a bleep about his craft and about the game of football," end quote. So how much did you learn from him about the little details of being a receiver, and then how much did those little details make a difference on the field for you?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that, you know, Moss always taught was to be yourself, you know, going into, you know, your years in the NFL or even in college, you know, you got to where you are because of who you are, not because of what someone else did or what someone else, you know, copying someone else's game. You know, go out and be you. And that's kind of the biggest thing. Because, I mean, there's not many things that you can teach, you know, physical-wise at this point in your career. But there's a lot of mental learning, you know. So I think that's something that he really did a good job of, just teaching guys about the game of football, you know, not just trying to get us in shape or, you know, teach us how to do this or do that, because the game changes from when he was playing to now, you know. So he can't really go out and teach, you know, what's happening now because he's not playing in that same time frame. But, you know, the mental side is always going to be the same. So that's something that he really preached on and really harped on.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling of the Packers joining us. I also had your friends, the Griffin brothers, on the program. In fact, I have a number of times over the years. Your name always comes up in the conversations. Take me back. When did you first meet those two?
We were like 4 or 5 years old. I've known them my whole life. We went to pre-K together, played Little League football together, went to high school together, you know, ran track together, played. They did everything together growing up. So, you know, those are lifelong friends. I was actually just with them a couple of days ago. We were out paintballing, you know. We do a lot of stuff together, work out together. You know, they grew up 5 minutes around from my house. So, you know, those are lifelong friends.
Such good dudes. And I know you ran the 4x100 relay with them and Rodney Adams, but am I right in saying this? You were on the Silver Raiders youth teams back in the day. Did that team have Griffins, Rayshon Jenkins, Isaiah Wynn, and more? If so, how do you explain all that future NFL talent on that same team in that same area?
Like, this is the thing. Like, with our area, there's so many talented players. Players who are better than all of us. But, you know, it's just so competitive, and everybody can't make it out. You know, we all had a different mindset that we can go out and be great and be successful. And we all took different paths to get there. But at the end of the day, you know, we always wanted to be, you know, legendary in our hometown. And there's so many great players that have come through, you know, St. Petersburg, Florida. You know, not even just football players, different basketball players, track runners, like musicians, anything you want. You name it, we got it down there. And I think it's just a credit to our city and what we can do and, you know, motivation to the younger generations that we can go out and do anything you set your mind to.
Now, this is really important to you, too. I know this for a fact, and it's tough, and not everybody makes it out. Caring for people without homes became an important cause for you to the point that you launched a donation drive when you were still in college. Like, you had dentist offices in California sending dental kits and floss. Players were donating duffel bags. The list goes on. What was it like to coordinate that drive and then distribute the bags, and you did so at a young age?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me, this thing kind of just started with me and my parents. We were leaving church one day, and my dad asked me, you know, like, what do you see yourself in the future? You know, like, obviously, you're a great athlete, and, you know, you graduated college, but, you know, what's your goal in life? You know, and mine was to help people. And so we kind of came up with this, you know, duffel bag drive, and we were just going to go out and give out a couple bags because, you know, as a college athlete, you don't have a lot of money. And it was just something like, you know what, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but I have a voice. And I kind of tweeted it out and, you know, made a couple Instagram posts, and it kind of just snowballed into, you know, this huge thing where people all over the, you know, the United States were coming in and bringing stuff and sending stuff. Like I said, the dental offices from California and, you know, all over Texas. I had so many people reaching out and donating things. And so it kind of just gotten bigger and bigger year by year, and I just want to keep it growing.
You know, to put that in perspective again, you held that first event when you were in college, and then you kept it going when you were a rookie in the NFL, when clearly you could say, this is something I'll get to at some point, and you didn't. You got right at it, and that's amazing. I give you so much credit for that, and I have so much respect for it. Before I let you go, let me ask you about the offense really quickly. What's it been like to play with Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's one of one. You know, there's no better quarterback to ever throw a football. You know, and even growing up, he was always my favorite quarterback, so that was just a dream come true for me. To be able to, you know, be on the same field as him, you know, being able to live out my dream with my favorite quarterback. And, you know, you can't ask for a better guy to, you know, to lead you and to teach you. MVP, Super Bowl winner, you know, whatever, Hall of Famer, whatever you want, he's done it. And he's always going to do it. And so just having that quarterback to, you know, show you the ropes and show you how to, you know, be a pro, you know, you can't ask for a better guy.
And one quick thing, legend has it that when you got the Packers playbook, after you were drafted, you would redraw the playbook by hand. In fact, you did it 3 times in the first 3 months. What was that project like, and how much did that help?
I mean, it wasn't an easy task, but I think the first thing that, you know, Randall Cobb told me when I first got there was, like, the more you know, the more you can play. And, you know, that kind of just stuck with me, just being able to play, you know, all different positions. Because, you know, as a rookie, you're trying to get in where you fit in. And it was one of those things where you got a bunch of guys battling for, you know, one position. But if you can play all 3 positions or all 4 positions, you become a lot more valuable. And I had Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb in front of me, you know, as 2 great pros. And then Geronimo, who had battled injury that year. So we had, you know, 3 great pros in there. So if I can get in there and be behind one of those guys right away, you know, because all 3 of those guys had went down at some point in time during that year. And so if I can play any one of those positions, you know, it's even better. And that's what I kind of stuck with, and that's what kind of worked for me.
Wrapping up our Packer Hour nationally, a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, the founder of the Scantling Receiver Academy, 174th pick overall out of South Florida in 2018, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Marquez, appreciate you. Thanks for closing the show like a boss. Great to have you on.
No problem. Thank you.
Good time. Appreciate that. That was fun. Packer Hour. And again, that was a coinkydink. That was no agenda. Good content, man. Good content's good content, period. Now I am done. If I didn't get to you today, take a shot tomorrow. Huge call brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant, which looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. My thanks to all of our guests. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. I'm going to walk it off tomorrow. See you then. We're out.